Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
I hope you grab your copy of God's word. Go with me to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. We're going to go to the Old Testament this morning on this Father's Day. You know, one of the most important duties in the military, I personally didn't serve, but from what I understand, one of the most important duties in any military establishment is that of being a watchman, a lookout, or a sentinel. How many of you veterans, if you're a veteran, raise your hand. If you're a veteran, how many of you guys had to serve on like as the lookout or the night watch? Any of y'all have that responsibility ever? All right, several of you did, all right? It's such an important duty because when you're on night watch, you are the vigilant eyes and ears for the whole base, right? You're watching and listening for any enemy threats when the base is most vulnerable, right? When it's most vulnerable as your fellow soldiers, as they sleep. It's such an important job that to be derelict of that duty or to misbehave as a lookout or a sentinel, it carries, I couldn't believe when I found this out, it carries a very stiff penalty in the U.S. military. Listen to this. United States Code in Title 10, Subtitle A, Part 2, Chapter 47, Subchapter 10, Section 913, Article 113. Right, don't you love bureaucracy? But anyway, here's what it says. It addresses the misbehavior of a sentinel and lists three offenses while being on watch. You get in trouble for these three things: being found drunk, being found asleep, or abandoning your post. And if you do any of those three things, it potentially carries a very, very serious penalty. Here's what it says, the U.S. Code. It says, any sentinel or lookout who is found drunk or sleeping up on his post or leaves it before he is regularly relieved shall be punished if the offense is committed in time of war by death or such punishment as a court-martial may direct. But if the offense is committed at any other time by such punishment other than death as a court-martial may direct. Perhaps one of the most famous stories of this topic involves William Scott, known as the Sleeping Sentinel of Groton, Vermont. There's actually a memorial there in Groton, Vermont to this man. Private Scott, he enlisted in 1861 when Abraham Lincoln, the president, called for men to come and enlist to fight in the Civil War as the Confederacy was trying to secede. And on August 31 of 1861, Private Scott, he took the night watch on the Potomac River. His job was to guard this really strategic bridge heading across the Potomac River, and right behind him was the capital of the United States of America, Washington, D.C. General Beauregard of the Confederate Army was camped only 10 miles away. So, I mean, it was a really tense time, a time that you had to be vigilant. But between the hours of 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., Private Scott was found asleep. He was immediately arrested, court-martialed, and sentenced to death by firing squad. The date of his execution was to be September 9, 1861. However, word got back to President Lincoln. And President Lincoln, he could not stand to hear of one of his men being put to death simply for falling asleep. And so in a moment of mercy, Lincoln pardoned Private Scott. And after receiving the pardon, it burdened Lincoln so much that he didn't just send a pardon. He personally went down to the camp, to the Union Army camp there, to personally make sure that Private Scott was not put to death. And Private Scott gave the president his solemn pledge to never again fail his duty to his country. In fact, he would just 7 months later give his life in service to this nation there in Lee's Mills, Virginia, there on the Warwick River. As he was dying on his camp's cot, he was shot in that battle, carried back to camp. He begged that President Lincoln be told of the circumstance of his death, that his gratitude would be expressed for the pardon, which made it possible for him to die in battle and not at the hands of a firing squad. Man, I read that falling asleep on watch, particularly in time of war, is punishable by death. It can be anyway, right? That's how serious the job is, guys. The enemy often attacks when you are most vulnerable. That's how serious the job is, right? A watchman asleep on duty, he could be responsible for the death of his entire base if the enemy were to attack. Guys, I want you to understand, men particularly this morning, when it comes to family, God has placed you as the watchman on the wall of your household, right? God has placed you, the watchman in your house. His name is Dad. His name is Dad. Here's today's takeaway. God calls every dad to be a watchman. God calls every dad to be a watchman. Every dad's been called to be on the lookout for, to guard against the enemy, both physically and spiritually. But like Private Scott of the Union Army, we can often be found asleep. We can often be found snoring on the watch during the most vulnerable times for our family, and the results can be devastating. That was the case with the nation of Israel. I ask you to turn to Isaiah 56. And God had appointed men to be leaders of that nation, right? The family of God. And he had put watchmen on the walls, so to speak, metaphorically speaking and physically speaking. I mean, there were people that guarded the people. But spiritually, these leaders were to be watchmen. And under their watch, the Bible says they were asleep. And moral decay had swept through the land to the point that God was bringing stiff discipline to them. Here's how God described the situation, men, in Isaiah 56, verse 9 through 12. I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word this morning. This is our passage of scripture for the message this morning. Isaiah 56, 9 through 12 says this. All you beasts of the field come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are all silent dogs. They cannot bark. Dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. The dogs have a mighty appetite, but they never have enough. But they are shepherds who have no understanding. They've all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. Come, they say, let me get wine. Let us fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure. Let's pray. Father, as we read this passage today, God, this is a negative example that I pray you would stir in our hearts that we would not be like this. Father, help us to be watchmen who are good watchmen. Father, help us to be strong leaders of our home and to guard against the enemy. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today's takeaway is that God calls every father, every dad, to be a watchman. So the question is not, Dad, are you a watchman? That's not the question, because every man is to be that. The question is, are you a good watchman or are you a bad watchman? And this morning I have three things that I see in the text here that you and I must do if we are going to be good watchmen on this Father's Day, if we're going to be raised up as good fathers, as good watchmen. The first thing that we must do, guys, if we're going to be good watchmen, is that we need to realize the enemy is circling your camp. Realize that the enemy is circling your camp. I can't imagine a watchman falling asleep if he knew the enemy was right outside of his camp. But the enemy, what does he do? He often lulls you to sleep. The enemy often works through stealth, right? He creeps around. He gains ground without you ever realizing that it's happening. I mean, the thief comes when you least expect it, doesn't he? The murderer, he gets you by surprise. And here in verse 9, Isaiah the prophet here calls for the beasts of the field and the forest to come devour. Now, scripture is clear. Scripture is clear that we have an enemy. We have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a beast of the field, like the king of the jungle. 1 Peter 5:8 calls us to be sober-minded. Notice this word, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But he only roars, guys, once he pounces. The scripture says otherwise he's prowling around. The other day, I've got a little lion at our house. We call him Rex. He's a house cat. But I mean, you watch a house cat. He does the same things that lions do out there. He was out in the grass the other day, creeping around. Our other cat, Peaches, she won't go outside at all. But Rex, as soon as the doors open, he's gone. He's out there. He's out there prowling, stalking through the grass, doing all this. And one day, he caught a bird. And he devoured that bird. That's what the devil wants to do to us. Listen, dads, listen to me. You have to realize that the enemy is circling your camp. And he does it by various means, right? He does it by various means. He's coming after your son. He's coming after your daughter. He's coming after your wife. And it's up to you and me to be the watchman on the wall. And here's the deal. Oftentimes, your vigilance is enough. Oftentimes, your vigilance is enough because the enemy doesn't want to face a face-to-face confrontation. The enemy wants to do it, a sneak attack, doesn't he? It's like my dad's rooster. My dad used to have this rooster. Man, he was mean. And he was so sneaky. When you'd watch him, he'd just peck around right there, you know? But as soon as you would turn your eyes, he'd creep up on you. You turn around, look, and he'd stop. He'd peck a little more, turn around. Eventually, he would get up to you and try to flog you. And that's what the enemy does. If you will stay vigilant and fix your eyes, I see you, devil. I see you, enemy. You're not creeping up on me. Oftentimes, the very fact that you are vigilant and you let them know that you know they're there, that often is enough to keep them away. So I say to you, brothers, this morning, stay vigilant. Keep your heads up, eyes up, neck on a swivel, so that the enemy cannot advance. Realize that the enemy is circling your camp just out of eyesight, and let that motivate you to stay awake. Wake up, O watchman. Second, to be a good watchman, you must resist the pull to be a worthless watchman. We are all prone to this, right? I mean, it is in our DNA, basically, right? We are born sinners. And the gravity of our depravity pulls us toward being a worthless watchman. That's exactly what Israel had. Worthless watchmen. They were negligent in guarding the nation spiritually. Now, we see here in Isaiah 56 what a bad watchman does. But Isaiah 21, verse 6 through 9, we have an account of what God says a good watchman does. And it's interesting, as I study the book of Isaiah, the idea of a watchman is just a recurring theme all throughout the book of Isaiah. There are good ones and there are bad ones. But here's what it says, Isaiah 21, 6 through 9, about good watchmen. It says this, "For thus says the Lord," or said the Lord to me, "Go, set a watchman. Let him announce what he sees. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, riders on donkeys, riders on camel, let him listen diligently, very diligently. Then he who saw cried out, 'Upon a watchtower I stand, O Lord, continually by day, and at my post I'm stationed whole nights. And behold, here come riders, horsemen in pairs.'" In other words, they were vigilant. When they saw something, they did not let it pass by. They stood at their post and they cried out when danger was around. But that's not what Israel had. Israel had worthless watchmen. Our text in Isaiah 56 says that their leaders, the spiritual watchmen for the nation, that they were blind. They were without knowledge. They were silent guard dogs that can't bark. I mean, a dog that can't bark, I mean, it's not much of a dog, right? Dreaming, they like to dream, these watchmen did. They like to lie down and they love to sleep. They love to get drunk. They love to just say, listen, there is nothing to be worried about. Tomorrow is going to be just as awesome as today was. There was no angst among them, right? There was no motivation to stand up for the people. And I want to say to you men, and I'm talking to myself here, naturally our depravity pulls us to be worthless watchmen. The gravity of our depravity pulls us to be self-centered. It pulls us to be lazy, to just hang out in the recliner, man. Let mama do it. It pulls us to be unloving. It pulls us to abdicate and to abandon our post. It calls us to neglect. It draws us to neglect. But we've got to resist that pull in our lives. We've got to fight back against that. We must be men of vigilance. We must be men of courage, men of sacrifice, men who voraciously and incessantly love our wife and children. Guys, we won't give up. We won't shut up. We won't shut down. We won't stand down. We have precious gifts that God has put under our care. And we will not let the enemy have them. We will do everything in our power to protect and to provide for them. And so we got to resist the pull to be a worthless watchman. I say this morning, wake up, O watchman. Finally, to be a good watchman, you must rise to your calling by the power of God. Rise to your calling by the power of God. You say, preacher, what you're asking us to do is really hard. It's really tough. And I say, that's right. It is. Being a daddy who loves his children and the mother of his children is one of the toughest jobs on the planet. But God does not ask you to do that. God does not ask you to fulfill your duty on your strength alone. God calls you to be that watchman under his strength. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We're in the middle of a series on the Holy Spirit. And guys, being filled with the Spirit is just as relevant when it comes to being a daddy as doing anything else in the church. You need the Spirit of God to fill you that you might be a faithful watchman. Here in Isaiah 56, we read about these worthless watchmen, but just a few chapters later, Isaiah 62, verse 6, here's what God declares. Isaiah 62, verse 6, he says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All the day and all the night, they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest. Brothers, listen to me. Those who are called by God will be empowered by God. You don't do this alone, right? He has called you to be a father and a husband through his strength. So I say to you, draw on his power. It's infinite power, and he wants to supply you. But listen, I understand. There are going to be moments when you fail as a father. When it comes to a man's life, often some of his deepest regrets come into the sphere of how he did as a dad. Oftentimes, that's the area of his life where he regrets the most. And I say to you this morning, if you have regrets, the grace of God covers that. And if you still have breath to breathe, you have an opportunity to turn that around and not be that worthless watchman, but to turn it around by the power of God and by the grace of God and to be that faithful watchman that God has called us to be. Thank God that God's word is not like the U.S. code book. Thank God that when we fall asleep on the job, on our watch, that God doesn't pull out his M16 and shoot us dead. God is gracious, not only to empower us, but gracious to forgive us when we fall short. This morning, I have a video I want to share with you. It's a song called Calling All Fathers, written by Todd Smith of the Christian group Selah. And it's a powerful song. And I want us to just listen to it this morning. And it'll have the words on the screen and whatnot. But I want us to hear this video, to hear this song. And then I've got further instructions for you. And I pray, men, that you will not feel burdened down this morning, but that you will feel inspired by what God is calling you to do. That you will rise to your calling by the power of God. Let's hear this song.
Where are the teachers? Where are the keepers of every home? There's an emergency greater than any other. Where are the ones who fight for their own? Calling all fathers, run to your children. We've fallen asleep and darkness has come. We will find strength. Sword now, and just like a soldier, take back what's been stolen and fight like a man. Calling all fathers, run to your children. We've fallen asleep and darkness has come. Find strength in the name of Jesus. Calling all fathers, wake up. Our sons need to know we see the man deep inside of them. Our daughters need to know that they're
So this morning, guys, I pray that you would rise up and take on this calling, men, by the power of God. And as you saw that video, if that video crushed your spirit because you know you've fallen short of that, God's grace is sufficient to cover your shortcomings, and God's grace is sufficient to empower you to be and to become that faithful watchman that God calls you to be. Here's my final prayer. May we fathers stay vigilant on the wall. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. Every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins, turn from them, and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.